Good morning and welcome. You are inside the huddle. Kyle Etherington here on this slightly less wet Saturday than what it was last night, along here with Mr. Don Stock. Don, when I was a young kid, my parents gave me a tape recorder, and I was typically throwing to my brother to play songs of the Spice Girls and everything like that. But I'm going to throw to you to talk about some local sports scores before we get started with the first quarter here.
Hey, thanks, Kyle. Appreciate that. And welcome, everybody, to Inside the Huddle. We have Coach Finley from the Bulldogs here waiting to in the wings to get started here. But let's go through some local scores. Last night, the Bulldogs packed it up and went to Eastern, getting beat 18-0. Prairie heads to Delphi in a conference game there, too, losing in overtime, a game of the week on Hoosierland TV. They get beat 14-8. The number third-ranked team, Carroll Cougars, they head to Tri-Central, beat up on them 51-14 as the Cougars stay undefeated. The Hot Dogs in their homecoming matchup against Western Boone lose 35-0. Tri-West Lebanon, they're smart. They're going to play this afternoon at noon. Heritage goes a trip to Tipton, who's 4-2. Tipton wins 21-7. Benton Central goes to Twin Lakes. They get beat 55-0. Twin Lakes 3-3. And last night, a game that you could have also watched on Hoosierland TV, Taylor goes to Sheridan, knocks the Hawks off 12-11, a baseball score, and it wasn't an extra innings.
Free football all around. And speaking of baseball, Don, I'm going to give you this one opportunity. Cubs, yeah. Any thoughts?
Well,
30
seconds. I think that we're into the old slogan to wait till next year, but we've got a lot of young kids that are playing very, very well right now. Our pitching staff is really, really well. I think they're out looking for one more starter. And our bullpen, a lot of our bullpen youth got injured, and when they come back to play, I think we'll be in pretty good shape next year. Wait till next year.
And even though my Yankees are in the playoffs right now, you basically described our team situation as well. But let's go ahead and start with the first quarter. We've got Coach Jeremy Findlay in here. Coach, not exactly the result that you wanted last night, but I think we can blame a person named Helene just a little bit for some of the conditions. Number one, have you dried off from last night, and how are your kids doing this morning?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was clearly an inclement weather game, to say the least. Yeah, I mean, you know, it is what it is, right? Like, you can't, like, they played on the same field conditions, right? So, like, just sometimes you win, sometimes you learn, right? And, you know, as we've kind of talked about before, you know, as you kind of progress as a head coach, you know, I'm just kind of going into the middle here of my second year, you know, I find that I learn week in and week out, you know, on practice ideas and then how we work prepared for the week and even calls in the games, trying to make adjustments as they come. So, you know, from that standpoint, you know, I mean, still feel really proud. Like, our boys fought really hard. We, you know, the score 18-0, we gave up those 18 points pretty early in the game, and then we, you know, we kind of buckled in and got things going. You know, just unfortunately, we just couldn't get it going offensively last night. But we didn't do anything defensively to help, like, generate takeaways. So, and that's on me. You know, again, like, as a defensive coordinator and the head coach, right, like you try to balance and balance risk versus reward, right? So, like, you want to generate big plays on defense. But sometimes when you take that risk, you get caught in the call, right? And that's kind of what happened last night, right? So, like, you want to put your guys in the best situation, so you're going to give them some great calls that you know, the other team has coaches too, right? So, like, kudos to Coach Edwards and his staff. You know, like, they had their boys prepared last night. I will personally go back, watch the film again today, and get my lessons learned, and we'll get back after it Monday, and, you know, no rest for the weary.
And you were talking about, off air with us, you were talking about there were just a collection of plays where if something different had happened, the defense might have been able to make a different play. The one that I was most interested in asking you about was the bubble screen and the bubble formation. How long has that been a thing? Because within the last 10 years, it's kind of become a major weapon that a lot of offenses have used. How do you stop that type of formation where you've got three bunched together? And kind of talk about kind of the thinking process in that, because what you said about the type of coverages that you use against the bubble formation, I found pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, again, right, so like the key to success on either offense or defense is numbers, right? You want to try to win the numbers game either to or away from the play, depending on where you're wanting the action to be. So in that case, right, so like when you go in the trips formation, like you're asking now your defensive backs and sometimes even inside linebackers to step outside and play sometimes like a number three wide receiver. Well, there's a couple things there, right? So one, traditionally when you look at speed and some of the agility parts of it, right, like wide receivers are traditionally, but they don't block as well as like, so like the outside linebacker, the inside linebacker is used to face like tight ends or whatever. So they're used, so there's a couple advantages and disadvantages on both sides of the ball there, right? So like, so just like for an example, in this case, like they had kind of got a couple and we'd kind of come up and rallied and made some tackles. And again, kudos to those guys, right? So we bit on the fake. And again, because there was an auto call, right? So like, so sometimes again, you know, as a defensive coordinator, like you're trying to outmaneuver, it's like a chess game, the offensive coordinator for the other team, right? So they had seen how aggressive we were being because of the weather and, you know, not thinking anybody was, like the weather was just going to affect being able to throw the ball. Well, we had set those guys up to be very aggressive against that. So when our guys actioned, it was a fake. The two, the one and the three went vertical, and then just got behind our DBs. And, you know, I mean, it was a great throw, wind. So, I mean, it's just that, right? Like, so sometimes you try to hold your shell and make sure you've got a couple guys that stay deep. But again, you know, high risk, high reward, right? So there's a few plays that we have, and I always look at somebody who's standing, and I'm like, well, somebody's band's going to be playing on this one, right? So, like, we're either going to get what we want or we're going to miss it completely, and the guy's going to go free. And that's, like, again, you know, like, that's sometimes, like, that's what you got to do, right? So, like, I am a very proactive special teams guy, right? Like, we'll go for it on punts. Like, I have a number of fake punts that we use. I'll throw in an onside kick. You know what I mean? So, like, to me, especially when you're talking single-A football, right, like, when you traditionally look at some of this stuff, it's the one or two outside-the-box plays that a coaching staff or a player is able to do that either, one, swings the game, or, two, generates a confidence in your team that kind of then propels you to be successful.
And considering that Lafayette over at Purdue University had 48-mile-an-hour wind gusts, and I think, Don, you were talking about everything that your daughter was experiencing down in Indianapolis, they had, well, over 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts as well, too.
Yeah, I would think that last night was definitely a ground game at won or lost, not in the air. And I want to talk about your team stats and the fact that you're 3-3 in the past. It'd probably taken 3 years to win the three games, not making any fun towards your team. And now you're 3-3 and you've played, could easily be 4-2, or in all reality, you get a good weather game last night, maybe you pick one off there too, and only with one loss coming into the Carroll game next week. But you know, you got a senior quarterback in Stevens who throws the ball very well up until last night, 19 of 39 for 402 yards and six throwing touchdowns, and he rushes the ball for about 5 yards a carry. And you have Amarin Barrett who does it about 9 yards a carry, and speed kills. Hey, Coach, and last night, that was a situation with the weather. It took an action from your team away, because it's pretty tough to be speeding on a water-filled field.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, like, you know, that has kind of been our strong suit, right? It's been our speed, our ability to adjust and cut and make things happen, and, you know, and get good push and good drives. you know, and you know, like again, like we said, like we're not going to make any excuses, right? Like everybody gets to play on the same field. Like both teams competed on the same battlefield. But, you know, we definitely figured out kind of, if the term is correct, like our kryptonite, right? Like is wet fields, right? But like I'll tell you the same thing I told our kids last night, right? We live and die by the sword, right? So, like, we're not going to change anything. Like, we're not going to make a knee-jerk reaction schematically on our offense or our defense, right? So, like, I'm usually not a big touter of things like this, but, like, I was telling you guys before we came on the air, just kind of give you some statistical numbers that just kind of shows the difference in this team from other teams in the past. So, at this point last year on defense, we had given up 217 points. Teams were averaging against us 40.25s per game. Now we've only given up 117 points. Teams are now averaging under 19 points per game. On the offensive side, we had only scored 48 points and averaging just around 12. We are now averaging 41.8. And so we have now, based off of last night too, we have 20 defensive takeovers. We've scored 5 defensive touchdowns. We've scored 32 defensive points. You know, we are multiple backs at or right around 100 yards. Multiple players, 8 to 10 tackles, multiple tackles for loss. You know, one of the moves that we made in the offseason that we weren't sure was going to be happening is Nate Wells has been like our middle linebacker for, like, I think he started as a sophomore, right? So, like, but we felt based off some new players on the team and how things went, like we were going to move Nate down and let him play defensive end. And kid is excelling, right? Just got an offer and signed with Taylor University, right? So, like,
congratulations to him. That's fantastic. That's wonderful.
Right? And, like, so now he's just an unsung hero, right? So now you go and you look at the statistics, still averaging around 8 or 9 tackles a game, just picks up his lunch pail every week, puts on his hard hat, and goes to work, right? Same thing we've said about Clayton Stevens, Amron Barrett, Creed Menon, Hayden Walters. I mean, last night we had Leland Harvey and Dwayne Harvey, who has excelled, you know, as at some sub-varsity games into, like, this week, had really excelled in scout. Right. So, like, during the week, Dwayne, I'm like, is just blowing things up. And I'm like, dude, I'm starting that kid this week. Like, you know what? Like, let's just, like, he's bringing the juice. Kid is very mild mannered until he gets on the line. Right. Like, kid doesn't say a whole lot, like, doesn't get real worked up, kind of has that Bueller, just like very contained with his emotions. Right. But, like, as soon as that kid gets on the line, like, it is, I'm about to peel somebody's face off. You know what I mean? So, like, there are just so many more factors and contributors to this team, you know, and like, last year we have 17 kids, 20 at the high point, you know, and so we've had some kids this year have to accept some alternate roles, right? So we got Keaton and Kyson Allball, who are going to be amazing, amazing football players for our program, right? Like, they are, by true definition, true professionals when it comes to their athleticism and how they handle themselves, right? Like, you know, days in, sometimes they, you know, like, they get to play a lot, sometimes they don't, but they never complain. They always come in, coach, what can we do this week? You know, and there's a number of those kids that are like that. You know, Levi Jacobs, you know, the kid just never complains, you know, is probably pound for pound the toughest kid on our team. Wrestler, just gets in there, you know, as a blocking back in this offense, isn't expected at times to guys 100 pounds heavier than he is, and he just, like an old oak tree, man, just goes in there and gets it done.
Well, Coach, you've got the number 3 team in 1A football, the Carroll Cougars, coming into the Dog Pound next week. Anything spectacular or anything that you say you're not going to do much changing up? What do you know about the Carroll Cougars?
Well, first of all and foremost, right, like, Coach Betzner's got those guys. Yeah. You know, I don't know if I've said it here, but I know I've said it to some of the coaching sessions, you know, like, every program strives to get better, and you kind of look at some of the other programs, like, within your conference, and you compete, right? And, like, Carroll is kind of the model program, if you will, like, in our conference, right? Like, teams want to kind of get to that level of success and kind of being able to sustain it, right? So, like, first and foremost, nothing but the utmost respect for Blake and his staff. They do a great job. But at the end of the day, right, come Friday, it's mission time. So I've watched a little bit of film of those just because of who they have played and common opponents. And there are some similarities in our team offensively, what we do defensively. So I feel from a schematic standpoint, we're going to kind of already have kind of a general plan. But personnelly, like that's where. So now you kind of have the what you want to do. Then it comes to how you want to do it and then who's going to do it. So like that'll be like when we meet tomorrow with our defensive staff and kind of start going over and finalizing the defensive plan for the week. Like, you know, it's, you know, how do we get our best 11 on their best 11 and how do we make our boys be successful?
Well, before we send you back to the Fortress of Solitude, I'm just going to compliment you on your outfits that I'm jealous of, and I will be sending you my shirt size. You have a Superman hoodie with the Superman symbol, and the results over excuses hoodie on today. I got to compliment you on that, Coach. I absolutely love it. Talk really quickly before we conclude the first quarter. Talk really quickly about what you were saying about what that shirt meant, especially when you were coaching at Westfield for the defense.
Well, again, like anybody that knows me is like, I'm huge about branding, right? Like I'm all about represent. I just feel like when you are proud of the organization you were a part of, and my wife tells me it stems from my time in the military, right? Like I'm always in some kind of uniform, whether it said U.S. Army, Marines, or whatever. But the Superman logo itself, so in our defense, when we want something that pertains to the Sam linebacker, the signal is like when Superman would get in the telephone booth and he would take off his shirt, like the first thing you would see was the S coming out of the shirt, right? So when I was given the opportunity to coach the Sam linebackers at Westfield, like the first thing I said was like, how can our guys stand out at practice? How can people know who we are? So I went out and started getting things with the Superman logo. Like we had cleats and gloves. Like we had all kinds of things for our guys that just kind of stood out. Position shirts. So again, like when you look at our team now, right, the no juice, no use, right? Like we put our brand up with that's kind of our motto. So again, I've always felt like if you've got something, you know, there's like Roll Tide or Hook 'em, like there are several organizations, Who Day, you know, like when and you give your fans a battle cry and your team has something to rally around. Like last night, we did a quick history lesson at halftime about during World War II, the city of Bastogne, right? And how when the Germans gave the commanding officer there of the 3rd Brigade from the 101st an ultimatum to surrender, the dude came back with one word, nuts, right? Like, you're nuts. Like, we're not sober. We don't surrender here, right? Even though we're outnumbered several thousand, you know? So, and like, that became like a rallying cry for that brigade. And they ended up being able to sustain until Pat got there, you know. So it was like a very, just one of those things, right? So like I feel like that's, if you got something to rally around, like that's really great for your team and your coaches and your community.
Well, Coach, from the perspective of a history teacher, thank you very much for telling the boys about that story. That's an awesome story. You're covering the state standards as well, so yeah. Keep it up. And I'll make sure that we send you our shirt sizes.
Absolutely.
Because you send me, I can't speak for Don on this, but if you send me a shirt, I'm going to wear it. So it's all about the merch. So
absolutely.
Hey, thank you very much for joining us on the first quarter. We will be right back with the second quarter. This is Inside the Huddle. And we would like to thank the following people for these messages.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Hi, I'm Samuel L. Jackson. When the UNCF, the United Negro College Fund, was founded 80 years ago, they hoped that they could change this nation for the better, and they have. As a proud alum of an HBCU, Morehouse College, I'm an advocate for HBCU. I support the work that UNCF does for students of color, scholarship, and internship for 50,000 deserving students each year. Visit uncf.org today, and remember, a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
Back once again on Inside the Huddle. We just finished speaking with Coach Finley of Clinton Central. He was showing us his football merch and showing us the new helmets they're going to get. They look like Bane from The Dark Knight Rises. I'm ready to play football. But we're going to go to on location right now. We're going to go to Battleground to talk with Rossville's girls golf coach, Kyle Stage. Coach, are you there?
I'm here. How are you today?
Hey, fantastic. Great to have you on the show. Your first year as the girls golf coach at Rossville, conference champs, county champs, you were able to sweep all three of those top positions, and you've got a player in the regional right now. What's the plan for the day, and how are things looking out there weather-wise, too?
Well, the weather seems to be holding off. It's going to be soggy and damp for the course and everything. But we're looking forward to a good day and see if we can't get our golfer out of the regionals today.
Well, Coach, you've got a senior, Faye Batteri, who's teeing off here in just a little bit, 10:40. Talk a little bit about her success and her opportunities today.
Yeah, she's got great opportunity to qualify out of the regional. It's going to be very difficult because there's some great schools here, and they only take the top three individuals. But she's got a great opportunity if she plays her game today. She's been great for us all season. She was medalist in seven of the nine dual meets we had this year, and she was also conference champ and county champ.
Not sure how much rain was up in the Battleground area. I don't know if you received as much as everybody else did from maybe the Frankfort area on down. How does the course look today?
It looks fine. I just kind of pulled in up here, but I'm looking around. I don't see any damage or anything. So I think it's probably just going to be a little bit wet for everybody.
What are you expecting out of Fabe today? I mean, what's it going to take to get into a semifinal round?
I would think that she's going to have to shoot pretty close to even par at the course today. With some of the schools we have some big schools up here: Carmel, Noblesville, Zionsville. So she's going to have to shoot really well to be able to advance out of here. But once you're at this level, nothing's impossible.
So, being the fact that she's there as an individual, will she be playing with other individuals in the tournament, or will she be playing with another team?
No, she'll be playing with other individuals that qualified from other sectionals.
And that should make it, I wouldn't say easier, but it's not as intimidating, being the fact that she's not with a team that's trying to move on in the tournament itself.
Right. I think it probably takes a little bit of the pressure off of her. She's with other individuals that are just trying to get out themselves. I would agree with that.
What does she average shoot here for an 18-hole game?
For 18 holes for the year, she's been averaging about 94 or so, but at conference she shot an 86. So we're just hoping to keep her down as low as possible today.
Have you played at Battleground this year?
Yeah, we've had two matches. We played in a tournament here, and then we played Lafayette Jeff in a dual match here, And then also we came up here Thursday for a practice round, and she played pretty well there too.
One thing that I've especially liked about the golf team at Rossville this year is you've got a good mix of experience and youth, and the kids that you had coming in this year as freshmen, stellar kids, both in the classroom and both on the athletic field. Has it been a pretty smooth season as far as the youth and experience, or have the youth given a new vibe? And kind of talk about how this youth and experience has kind of gelled together, because from afar it seems as if they have worked well together and they've supported each other pretty strongly.
Yeah, it's been great. It's been a great mix. I had two seniors, a junior, and two freshmen, and the two freshmen had never played before. So having two seniors with them all year really helped pull them along and teach them kind of how to play the game and some of the rules of the game and how to handle course management. And the two freshmen were just kind of sponges the whole year, trying to learn as much as they can from the older kids.
I can definitely attest to that, and seeing the kids around school and everything like that. Phoebe Terry and Chloe Darnell have been your seniors. What has their leadership been like this year, especially for your first year as a coach? Because the old adage is seniors can be your best friends or they can be your worst enemies sometimes. How have Phoebe and Chloe been instrumental in the team success this year?
They've just been great. They acted like seniors as far as they'd played all the courses. Since I was a new coach, I haven't seen a lot of the courses we've played. So they could kind of give some of the information to the younger kids before the matches came along. So they've been great in that situation. We don't get to practice at school. We have to practice at golf courses. So they were great as far as giving the younger kids rides and everything, and teaching them how to be role models, kind of.
Now, one of the things that I especially liked about high school golf, the one year that I played, just so I could get my 5 JV points to get my letter jacket, I always loved getting to play at all the best courses for free and everything like that. Now, my question is, as a coach, how do you approach that? Do you enjoy the free golf as well, or you follow them in the cart? How exactly... What type of coach are you? Because, you know, the old adage is like, oh, the golf coaches, they're just off playing golf and not doing anything. How have you brought your coaching philosophy to the golf course with these ladies?
I didn't get to play any golf with them, really. I kind of was just in the car helping them along at the courses, tell them about different strategies and stuff to use, and maybe helping them with their swings here and there. But I didn't get to play any of the courses. I would have liked to, because we play at some really nice courses. But for the most part, I was just in the car helping them along.
Well, anytime you need somebody to defeat on the golf course, just give me a call. We were talking to the Clinton Central girls coach last week, and she told us about a brand new rule that I found quite interesting, that if you get to the sixth stroke, you can pick up the ball and just move on to the next hole. Kind of increase the pace of play. My average would have been a personal best just from that alone. Hopefully you guys haven't had to deal with that very much. Now, you've coached in the past different sports. Kind of talk about the sports that you've coached in the past, and what are some of the lessons that you can bring from those other sports to the golf team?
Well, I think just leadership, being a coach. I coached basketball for 7 years at the varsity level, and also was a JV coach for a couple of years. So just bringing the leadership and knowledge of sports. I was a boys golf coach at Lebanon for a year, too. So I had a little bit of knowledge or experience with golf. But just knowing kind of the ins and outs of sports really helps you along as a coach at the varsity level.
Coach, explain a little bit about the rules and regulations of golf, what you can do while the girls are playing and what you cannot do.
Okay. That's changed a little bit since when I played in high school. The coach basically had to just stay out of it and not be around. Now the coaches can basically be a full-time coach on the course while the girls are playing. So you can give them any, as long as they're not on the greens yet, you're not allowed to coach them on the putting surfaces. But you can coach them from anywhere else on the course. You can help them with their swings. You can help them with strategy. You can help them with just about anything. So you can get a lot of knowledge to them during during their rounds.
Well, Coach, you know, I'm going to say give our best to Phoebe Terry. Hope that she does very, very well today. And hopefully we'll be asking her or talking to you again next week in a semifinal round.
That sounds great. I appreciate you guys letting me on today.
Hey, we appreciate it. We want to make sure that we get to as many sports as possible, especially with all of our county schools. So thank you so much for fitting us in today. And good luck out there to Phoebe Terry. And hopefully we got a big crowd out there. She's on the back nine tonight, today, correct?
Yes, yeah, starts on number 10, and this parking lot's full. So there's going to be plenty of spectators out here.
And plenty of hamburgers being grilled up too. If my memory serves me right,
it's a beautiful day.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good smell.
Yep.
All right. Well, hey,
that's absolutely right.
Thank you, Coach. We appreciate you calling in.
Thanks. I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Hey, we've been talking with Kyle Stage, the girls' Rossville golf coach. We're going to take a halftime timeout. We'll come back with third quarter action with Blake Betzner with the number 3 1A school, the Carroll Cougars. After this message.